Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? I'm about to head out and I thought I'd take you guys along with me on this journey. I'm about to go and meet up with a Christian group of students who their teacher, Professor Henry, reached out. They've been studying a little bit about Islam. You know, they're kind of seeing something's fishy with what's going on. You know, there's a lot of this this manufactured fake fear pumping people up. And intelligent people are seeing past all this. So they've been looking into Islam themselves and they want to be really objective. So they invited me, a Muslim, to come to their institute and to answer some questions and to connect. So I'm going to connect with my Christian brothers and sisters in humanity. And I'm taking you guys along with me. Let's go. All right, guys, assalamu alaikum. We're going to go and speak to our friends and have a nice session. Guys, let me introduce you to our host, Henry. How you doing?
Good to meet you. I'm doing well.
All right, so this is a Christian academy?
It's a Christian school.
Christian school?
West side of Chicago, right by the United Center.
All right, so we're going to have some fun answering some questions, getting to know each other. Make sure you keep tuning in.
Yep.
And it's something unique we see here. I want to just touch upon this. So the priest would be in this box here.
I would imagine this one here, and then the individual would step into this kind of booth.
So you'd come in here,
yeah.
And you'd pretty much, okay, the priest is here, and then you come in here in this booth here. But the interesting thing is, since we're here to share, one thing in Islam is that you don't go, and I know in Protestantism, you don't do the same.
No,
right?
Yeah, you're right.
Here you go in
through the priest.
Through the priest.
Yes.
In Islam, as soon as someone, doesn't matter how many sins they came with to God, they go to him directly.
Yeah.
So they don't pray to anyone else, not to Muhammad, not to a prophet, a saint, a messenger, nobody, not to Jesus, nobody but to the Creator. So it's a direct dial-up.
Yeah.
And then we learn that God Almighty is the most loving, the most forgiving. He forgives all sins.
Yeah.
There's one thing, associating partners with him, that's the unforgivable sin.
That's shirk.
Okay. But even if someone did shirk, right? If they repent to God, he forgives. But if they die on it, that's the
unforgivable, unpardonable sin.
Yeah.
Okay.
But make it contextualize that. That's when after they die. But if they did it while they're alive, and they repent, you know what I mean? The person could have been, you know, worshiping cows and worshiping, you know, human beings and angels and all sorts of, you know, whatever the case. But then he just turned his way around.
Okay.
And he repented. Then God forgives all sins. So this is interesting. I wanted to point that out, that you have this confession box here.
Yeah. And then just because we're a Protestant institution, again, like you said, we don't use it in the same way.
Yeah. So this is the area now that you have, what were you saying, sermons?
Yeah, every Friday we have a chapel in here. Mm-hmm. So students will come in to worship. The whole school will come in here. And we have two different chaplains that work part-time here.
Yeah.
And they'll come and they'll... we'll do worship to start. So a couple of songs, our chapel band will lead us in worship, and then the chaplain will come up and he'll preach a little sermon.
Yeah. For our viewers, you know, as people know me, I started the Dean Show over back in 2006. Really excited about sharing this message because there's a lot of misconceptions revolving around it.
Yeah.
And I really get excited to come and share, you know, what I know, and you know, to try to help clear many of these misconceptions and deliver really what Islam is truly about.
Yeah.
What motivated you guys to have someone like me to come out and, you know, share, you know, what I know?
That's
about
a great question. I think part of that is just that misconception that's just so prevalent, and not just within Christianity, but just within our nation at large.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our units within my senior Bible class is talking about different monotheistic faiths. So we'll talk about Islam, we talk about Judaism, then we talk about Christianity as well. And I just think with how rampant Islamophobia is and xenophobia is in our nation, I wanted to give the students an unbiased perspective of this religion, just for them to have a real good sense for what is it truly that Muslims believe. So I want to move them away from some of these different misconceptions in such a way. So I'll do my best to present an unbiased perspective, but I'm still biased because I am a Christian. So I wanted you to come in to really give an objective, unbiased kind of unfiltered perspective on your own religion.
That's really amazing. We encourage, more people to do this, especially like you said, you know, the manufactured hate and fear, the xenophobia, Islamophobia, and we see a lot of destruction. You have so many mosques that are being vandalized, burned, bombed.
Yeah.
And, I really appreciate Christians like yourself, human beings, who are connecting with other human beings to kind of rid, people of this ignorance and that false fear, the manufactured fear that moves people to do some horridious, violent and crazy actions.
And within the media, I'm just constantly bombarded with this inflamed rhetoric, of jihadists and Muslim extremists. And so for me, as an academic and as a teacher, I want to do my best to faithfully capture what is it truly that Muslims believe. And so one of the assignments that I'm assigning to my students is the question, is Islam truly a religion of violence or is it a religion of peace? And so we did a really kind of an in-depth study of the life of Muhammad, and it was just fascinating. But in just studying Muhammad himself, he was not a man of violence. And so I wanted to have my students interact with you, who could potentially help us to contextualize some of these different verses in the Quran that are often misused and misappropriated. So I wanted you to come and maybe give some of that context to help us work through the Quran itself kind of on its own terms.
I'm excited, and I'm happy to meet my friend Henry here. This is us working together, and that's what we need to do, work together. I'm going to go in and share because we care. Keep tuning in. Very excited to meet my Christian friends, brothers and sisters in humanity. We all have the same father, Adam. Now, there's a distinction between people, brothers and sisters in faith, but then you have brothers and sisters in humanity, and now people who are wanting to learn, who are inquisitive, not just swallowing everything whole from Fox News and all of the Islamophobes and all of the hate rhetoric that's out there, connecting, making the human connection. So very excited to meet, talk, chat, share. All right, so we just finished. That was our first real session.
First real session, yeah.
So now this is I'll ask you some questions now. Well, until the next group has come in. Oh, you can just, one of the things that you have, this would be a good way to not forget, hopefully. Tell us what was one of the points that's new to you, that interested you from some of the things that we've been discussing that you remember now?
Yeah. I think one of the things that was really helpful to hear was you talking about the relationship between Judaism and Christianity and Islam. And I think just you kind of giving that context, understanding that there's belief in all these prophets. I think you would say some, belief in the 124,000 prophets, is that right? And that you would affirm the prophets of Judaism, you'd affirm the prophets of Christianity, and that all of them taught the same message, although it might have looked different. And that, even though you and I might disagree about Jesus and if he was the Son of God or not, we can at least agree that he was a great prophet, that he did bring a message, that he did preach a message about there being one God. And just kind of seeing that continuity between those three religions and seeing how you view even the sacred texts of those religions, where you'd say, we would affirm, the Hebrew Tanakh, we would affirm the Christian scriptures, however, they were distorted and corrupted over time, and that was really helpful.
So those are the kind of things we're discussing, like we said. So to reaffirm that, very important that people don't know that belief that what was revealed in its original, the Torah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we believe in the Torah in its original, which we don't believe today that exists. What was in its original, the Injil, we believe in that. And then the chain of prophets from the beginning until Muhammad, peace be upon him, the end, that same messenger we believe. Worship the Creator,
one God,
not the creation.
Yeah.
One God.
Yeah.
All right, next class is next class is coming in, and we'll continue on here with my new friend.
Good to be here.
Henry. Having a great time here, Professor Henry. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Very, very important question that he asked. Hey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Was of what they call, many people, they capitalize on people's ignorance. You asked me a very wonderful question about, they call it the sword verse. What did you get out of the answer? And now, have you heard the other, many of the hate provocateurs, have you heard this in certain circles they try to bring this up, and then after it's explained in context, what kind of feel do you get? What do you think?
It's really helpful, because I think what's interesting is when I have engaged that sword verse, and I think you call them provocateurs. Is that what you call them?
And we don't consider it like a sword, you know.
Right, exactly. From what I've heard, Surah chapter 9, verse 5. I've heard that verse spoken of often out of context when it's spoken of in a more violent interpretation, a violent way.
Say the verse for people that don't know what verse you're talking about.
That wherever you find them, slay the idolaters.
Yeah.
Or after the 4 months of peace are over, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. And so that's the text that I've had some trouble with interpreting. And for those who would say they interpret that in more of a violent way, oftentimes they don't give me any context. And so I have a hard time interpreting it, or they would say, it's justified to use that as a universal command because they oftentimes don't give me any context. But those who I hear say that that's not, you know, a verse that should be used to justify violence, they would give me context. And that's what you did so well for me today, was that you gave me that sense of context of what was going on with the Muslims at that given time, what was going on in the relationship between Medina and Mecca and the Quraysh, and how the Muslim community was just trying to survive, and that verse was used as more of kind of a charge, but given for a specific instance, not as this universal command to be slaying non-combatants wherever they want to.
And then we talked about the verse that trumps all of that. Remember?
Chapter 60, verse 20. Was it 28?
Chapter 60, verse 8. Where God Almighty is saying that He doesn't forbid you from dealing justly and kindly with those who haven't persecuted you or fought you because of your religion, which they were persecuting the Muslims, fighting them.
Right.
So in context, you contextualize that.
It's understand. Defensive. It's just...
It was for that particular offensive time.
Yes.
But you see what many people do, they capitalize on people's ignorance, and they throw this verse out there and they say, you see, these Muslim... It's just like, I'll give you an example, what comes to mind in Luke there and Matthew, there's two verses. One, it's I would be very ignorant if I did that, but you do have even some Christians who will do that, just like, you know, let's say someone who's misinterpreting the text. Let's say I came, I say, look, Jesus said that of my enemies who wish that I not reign over them, bring them here and let them slay me. Or where he says that, and you'll put it, we'll put it in context, where I think not that I have come to bring peace, but a sword.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not, I know the context.
Yeah.
It's like them taking that out
of,
you see? You see the games
the
that people play?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
completely unfair, complete misuse of the text. That's why that contextualizing is just so important to proper interpretation. But for me, not being a Muslim and not having that context, it's hard for me sometimes to interpret the Quran, especially given the fact that it's not necessarily laid out chronologically. And some of the different surahs and chapters, the way that they're laid out is a little bit more complicated for me. So I think just for you, as an, you know, being familiar with Islam and the Quran, just to give me that kind of that clarity in that context was just really helpful to illuminate that text.
And that's why these meetings, these gatherings, us connecting like this is so important. We have another group coming in?
No, that was it.
That was the last one?
Yeah.
I thank you so much for having me.
This is great.
And I'm here anytime that you need us. Awesome. We're here to connect and keep doing this wonderful work that, you know, helping to bridge that gap of misunderstanding. I'm very excited. We have Professor Henry here. This is great, man.
Yeah,
thank
you
so much for
having me. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
He would probably most likely look more like an Arab. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like what are the main differences that you see in the culture?
If you look at the Sermon of the Mount, what was Jesus wearing?
He was just wearing his typical...
He looked like he was wearing like a thobe, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting when you relate to that. He had a beard, right?
Yeah.
Right? If you look at... In many, because of the hot climate in that area, you'd see they would be wearing like
the turban
on their head.
Something covered.
So if you go into that part of the world, you'd see people wearing kind of that same dress here. But you'll also see people wearing, which some people wear suit and tie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When people go down to that part of the world, they experience such hospitality, such love.
It's something that we might have lost in our always going,
connection, eating.
Always going.
You'll sit together in some of these places and people are eating. There's one, we're not used to this, but there'll be a big batch of food
and
everyone's sharing from there. But there are cases where people are so scared. They're thinking they go, when you don't travel, when you don't see, and then you get fed all of this, you know, hysteria and whatnot, you think, I'm going to go here, these people are going to kill me, they're going to lynch me. But man, people have gone, you go to this, you travel, you go to like Dubai, you go to different places, which Dubai is actually the most developed, you know, one of the most developed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, that's one myth, like, oh, these people are backwards and whatnot.
Yeah.
Hey, when you blow people back into the Stone Age, you know what I mean?
Lives. Mm-hmm.
That's an important point. So now when we get to know each other and we appreciate these different cultures, and you get to go ahead and travel like you did, you can appreciate the different food maybe, the different dress maybe. When they think, okay, they're stuck in a rural area, they're stuck somewhere, and everybody, you know, different than that, you know, is the enemy. Then you have, that's where you have these issues. Yeah. But this is important that, you know, people think out the box, they travel, they look, they see, they meet, they make the human connection.
And the only way to combat that is to be exposed to other things, to go to other places, see other cultures.
We finished a wonderful session. Now me and Henry, we're gonna go get some lunch. Me and my new friend, Professor Henry, we're breaking some bread. So he took me out to lunch, look at that. Eating some great food, breaking bread, and we were talking about how important this is, that we make these connections and we work for a greater good with, you know, can you elaborate on what you were saying about that?
Yeah.
Just talking about the reality of how important it is to have these kind of conversations for both Muslims and Christians to be linking arms, listening first before talking, and being charitable before we're quick to critique, and linking arms with this common mission, which is, I think, peace and love and the betterment of you know, other people and ourselves. And I think that's a lot that we can rally around instead of kind of being divisive and sectarian. There's a lot of kind of mutual agreement and common ground that we can both agree on.
You are a great example of someone who has is on that great mission. I think many people can follow Henry's lead, reach out, make the human connection, and break bread like we're doing.
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah. There's one point of our conversation, I think this is very important, because many people in their homes, in their surroundings, and their with their friends, maybe you're having lunch and somebody, you know, brings up a conversation, and Islam being all over the news a lot of times, you know, this is what you get, and that fear is created. So you were mentioning that this happened to you also?
Yeah. And for me, just conversations that I've had with friends or relatives, you know, those who have been watching the news and listening to, you know, different events that happen in the name of Allah or, you know, justified by the Quran, that they view Islam as a religion of violence. And so for me, it was really important to do that kind of due diligence and research to really figure out, is it a religion of violence or is it a religion of peace? And just after my interactions with Eddie and after some of the research that I have done over the past couple of years, it seems pretty plain to me that the message that's being propagated in the media is wrong. It needs to be challenged.
That was fun, wasn't it? I really had a great time. Thank you, Henry, and all of the students that were there. I really appreciate hanging out with you guys, making the connection. Hopefully people can follow in Henry's lead. There's many people out there who are inquisitive. They want to know more about Islam. They want to know about the Muslims. They're sick of all the false propaganda and the lies they've been told from Fox News and many of these media outlets. So they want to connect. They want to be objective. They want their students also. So any university, Christian school, you want to hook up with us, or you're an individual, you want to learn more, call us 1-800-662-ISLAM. Visit a mosque, find out when there's an open house, or if you want us to come and visit with you guys, answer your questions, talk, just sit down and make the human connection like me and Henry did today. Great time, great experience, and hopefully people can learn from this. And we challenge the media, why don't they cover stories like this? That was one of the questions. Why don't they hear from us Muslims? Well, we'd love to be heard from, but we don't have the loudest mic. We don't have the biggest reach. So people are going to have to dig a little bit. Henry did. He found us. And if you want to hook up with us, reach out, make the connection. We'd love to spend some time, come and speak to you, your group, your students, whoever it is. We're not hiding, we're here. And that'd be great if they cover this story, because this is a story indeed that more people need to hear. Thank you very much. Keep tuning into The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Like, follow. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.